Let's rock it.
Okay, so we are talking about more or less a new series on the podcast, the origin stories of certain characters. So we're currently on Lost Galaxy, yeah. And Scotty wanted to say, you know, let's talk about the Magna Defender, and what an interesting character.
Yeah,
he's a bull. It's like he's a Mexican bullfighter kind of gimmick.
He's a totally different species of ranger than we've ever been exposed to. You know, he starts off that way anyway.
Yeah, he's way more fleshed out than the others.
Is he even a Power Ranger?
Yeah, he counts.
Mm-hmm. We get a completely different, you know, backstory. I mean, this guy goes back, you know, almost as long as Zordon, if you think about it. I mean, he was, as far as we know, you know, he was trapped for, what, 2,000 years, they said? He might have been around for 5,000 years. He might have been around as much long as Zordon. He was just in a different galaxy.
I'm actually going to read off the Power Rangers Wikipedia page. His background description is actually really cool. It says, the Magna Defender was among the many participants that fought in the battle that occurred over 3,000 years ago. It is believed that he was once a guardian of sorts of the Lights of Orion. Around that time, the Magna Defender's homeworld was attacked and overrun by Scorpius and his monsters. His son Zika was used as a shield to prevent him from attacking Scorpius' army, and unfortunately killed shortly thereafter when he tried to stop Scorpius and save his father. So we'll stop right there, and we'll progress.
It's a tragic... Well,
yeah.
You know, so more tragic origin than what we're used to with Power Rangers. I mean, that being, you know, a kid's show up to that point, you know, Zika's death is a finality, man. He ain't coming back.
This is, I think, the first season that death has been, like, explicitly addressed, you know, and even shown in general.
First of all, it's a child. That's totally different. That's like if Justin died or something. You know, it's the equivalent of that, but... We've had death, clearly, in the other seasons with Zordon dying and everyone else dying. I mean, there's monsters dying every week, but this was explicit. He didn't get... Scorpius, you rank him on the list of bad villains. He didn't give a fuck. He was just going to kill a child.
He didn't care.
Yeah. It's... I want to say one of the darkest parts of any Power Rangers episode or series.
No doubt. No doubt.
So, continuing with the background of him, let's see... Well, fun fact, actually, real before I start that, he was only in 9 episodes of the Magna Defender.
Yes.
So, well, at least the Magna Defender before Mike.
Mm-hmm. It says his homeworld listed as unnamed gray planet. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, we're never really... I mean, I guess the implication would have to be that at least at some point he's on Miranoi because he falls into the crevice.
He gets to Miranoi somehow, yeah, because he's trapped in the crevice.
Yeah, well, that's what it has listed here. It says, you know, the Magna Defender swore revenge for both his son and their planet. At some point, the Magna Defender arrived on Miranoi to release the Lights of Orion. There, on the jungle planet, he fought and lost to his arch rival, Treacheron. He was wounded terribly. Treacheron's final attack sent him tumbling into a pit on the planet. So, again, his origin story, not necessarily... There's not a clear indication. I feel like a lot of the times we do get a decent backstory on, like, the Sixth Ranger as to where they come from, except for the Phantom Ranger. Nobody fucking knows.
Well, it's usually very brief. Like, it's never been fleshed out over multiple, like, episodes. Like, there's never been, like, a saga. It's always just been, like, okay, Tommy was captured by Rita. He's now green. He's good now.
He's given the green power coin.
Same thing with, like, Gold Ranger. It's like, okay, he was an alien dude who, like, you know, I don't know, Earth is polluted, blah, blah, blah. Let's get Jason. Like it was never... You
Zane
know,
was Zane was a
deep,
ranger,
like first
you
of
know,
all, like
who's
Zane,
injured
I guess,
and trapped in a you know by Andros in a carbonite pretty much
Zane,
frozen
I guess
prison
is,
pretty much. I
yeah,
mean,
Zane is like the closest we get before Magna Defender to like a like actual like deep like oh like this is kind of like a serious backstory.
Yeah,
but Magna Defender has this like. Life-changing moment, you know, because, like, apparently he's this, like, great hero, like, you know, he's kind of like an old, like, Greek tragic hero, and then something happens to him, and then he changes, like, he doesn't care
who he hurts. He's willing to destroy.
He's willing to destroy anyone, you know, whether good or evil, to his obsession with revenge and the Lights of Orion changes his entire character, you know what I mean?
You know what's funny is, though, is that normally in any situation where we're doing a podcast, we have our own script and everything planned out, I had to go to this page because even watching the show, I said to myself, and I'm looking through all the, and I'm such a fan of continuity and Power Rangers lore. I didn't, after the first, I want to say like 13 episodes, even like getting to him, I was still very confused on why he was there to begin with. So, I mean, which led me to believe to go to, I mean, Power Rangers, you know, Wikipedia on fandom has actually answered so many questions. So I recommend anybody go and check that out. But even I had to go look it up and say, what is the correct backstory? And what they have listed here was, you know, basically all they said. So I'm thinking maybe there's more to it I'm missing, but that's really it. It's just that he was, there was a giant battle 3,000 years ago on his home world and was overrun by Scorpius. That's really his whole origin. Yeah. Is that Scorpius was trying to take over that planet. And then his son literally got in the way in it. But the Magna Defender's armor to me, and Vinny actually pointed this out earlier, it's that, why does the kid even have armor? Do they need that on his planet? Is that like standard for living? Or is it more? I think he is
the armor. He doesn't have morphing. I think he just is like, that's so what the Magna Defender was. He's like
a blue Centurion.
He's like a ninja type, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just
a different species of being.
You know what I mean?
Is the suit.
And his power source kind of comes from
the chest piece,
that like emerald, you know, Green Lantern type of, you know, thing sitting in the middle of his chest.
Now let's talk about the galaxy background for a little bit. When it comes to Mike, is that they traveled to Mirinoi and Mike pulls the quasar saber out of it. You know, passes on the, which we find out is that the destiny, if you will, for Leo is that his brother was supposed to pass it on to him, and that Mike's actual destiny was to be the successor to the Magna Defender. Now I don't remember, at the end of the series, is he still the Magna Defender?
No, he loses his powers.
He sacrifices his powers to save Terra Venture, actually.
Yeah, really? They get launched into Lost Galaxy like literally like 5 episodes before the finale. And when they're trying to escape, he like holds open a portal or something so that they can get out. So like he winds up getting trapped behind. But Mike survives.
Mike
survives, but he just loses the power.
He's entrenched in the GSA. You know what I mean? He's
So what is Mike doing? He's just still back on the Galactic Space.
He's still on Terra Venture. Yeah, I mean he's a critical member. That, as you see, you know, when Mike, when they have the redemption episode, I think it's episode 12 or 13. And you see, you know, Mike emerges, and it go into how Mike survived the whole ordeal on Mirinoi. Basically, the Magna Defender saved his life. He goes in,
Well, you know, and I also feel like, I don't know what's more or less, is that, yes, he saved Mike's life, but also, was he ever actually going to give Mike his life back? It just didn't seem...
I don't think that was the plan.
Yeah, it seemed like he was just going to be like, oh, found a vessel, if you will, and,
I don't,
you know, Matt, I'm just going to steal it. That's what it kind of came off like.
I think that's where the Magna Defender story kind of ends.
That's where he gets a heart.
He sees through, you know, his son's, you know, his son kind of comes to him in like a spirit form. And he kind of sees that, like...
It was very Thanos and Gamora.
You're still...
Yeah.
Like Yosika kind of says to him, you know, Dad, you still have goodness and you can still do good. And he gives him the flowers. Mm-hmm. And you know, Magna Defender actually has the flowers in his hands and you know, he realizes that, you know, a hero still does, he has like this kind of like Darth Vader moment almost, like where he realizes what he has to do. He sees the light and he realizes what he has to do.
I mean, it's what it states right here on the page. It says his son Zeke came to him and told him that he believed in him and knew that he would make the right choice. So when he met Leo to reveal to Leo that he was merged with Mike, seeking to undo the damage he had caused to Terra Venture in the attempt to finish off Scorpius after being prompted to return to the good and renounce his hateful ways by apparition of Zika. Magna threw himself into the energy pit and then he ended up sacrificing himself to save Terra Venture. Yada-da, Mike was released in the process. And then, more or less, if that situation didn't occur, I don't think Mike would have been alive.
He was alive. He was just trapped in the Magna Defender.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he would have been released.
You know, jam or, you know.
Actually, let's talk about that real quick. Terra Venture gets a lot of shit. Like, their security, we've been talking about this as we watch the show, is fucking trash.
Where are these so-called, you know, Starship Troopers they were training on the moon, you know, for this...
The one in the opening credits?
Yeah, I mean, you see it in the first episode. You don't see these guys training or nothing at all. I mean, they even tease when they're training Leo to join the GSA, and Leo eventually is like, you know, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not my brother.
No.
And it's one of the big themes of the whole series thus far is that, you know, Leo's kind of starts off as the stowaway, and he grows into becoming, you know, this leader of the Power Rangers, and, you know, his character progression is pretty fast. I mean, he adapts really quickly, and even to the point where the team kind of doesn't believe in him at first, you know, and except for Kendrick's really, but that's, you know, hand in hand.
That's why even when we were talking about this, what's even called this particular episode of the podcast? Are we more or less like, is it an origin story, or are we telling the story of the character itself?
I kind of feel like we should have figured that out before we recorded.
That's what I'm saying. But you know what? As we're going on,
I feel like the
I think his whole story itself, I mean, origin, there's not much to say about it, but his actual story is better.
His story, you know, and how it ties into Leo, because Leo's kind of like, you know, the Luke Skywalker. He sees the good in Magna Defender. You know, even though he, you know, they have their fights, they do, you know, they fight, mm-hmm. you know, and almost hurt each other at times, but Leo sees something good in the Magna Defender. Like, the Rangers do see something and good in the Magna Defender, which leads them down that...
Matt, you're right. We should have figured that out before recording. Mm-hmm. But as I'm going through the origin story, is that was the initial conversation to say, all right, let's talk about the origin story. And then I go to look into deeper. There isn't much of one. Right. And then what's actually interesting is that a lot of the origin stories for the characters, you know, whether it's like Tommy, you know, Zane, like how they, you know, became evil to good and then dead from good... Magna Defender's actual story arc, I think, is so much better than him being like, oh, well, there was a fight on my planet.
Yeah, this is where, like, they start to really... Like, from here on out, a lot of times the extra Ranger in every series going forward gets a little bit more of, like, a saga. Like, they have, like, a... You know, so like in next season, in Lightspeed Rescue, like we find out the Titanium Ranger, which I look forward to talking about. But to make a long story short, like he starts off as a bad guy because as it turns out, he was raised by the villain of the show. But the reason why he was raised by the villain of the show was because his father had to make that choice to save his life. We'll go into that later, but basically, it's a story arc of how, like, basically his whole childhood was a lie, and he's really the son of, like, that season's equivalent of Zordon, who's, like, a military commander guy.
It's kind of like a ripoff of Caron, pretty much.
Well, a little bit, but he wasn't kidnapped. It was more like the commander dude gave, the main villain's name is Diabolico, and he gave Diabolico permission. He was just like, yeah, he basically made a deal with the devil. And basically said, like, if it'll save my son, then yeah, like, do what you need to do. And so, like, Diabolico basically raised him as, like, a son. I'm trying to think of what the closest thing to compare it to would be. But regardless, I mean, that's a little off topic. But it was just an example that, like, going forward, then we have, like, the Quantum Ranger, who's a little bit like Vegeta, almost, in Time Force. Like, he's, like, a guy who's constantly flip-flopping between, like, kind of being a villain, and then he, like... Because he's jealous of the Red Ranger, and then he actually, like, kind of goes back to being, like, a chill dude eventually. And, you know, and then so on and so forth, like, Wild Force. We got the dude who's, like, a werewolf and blah, blah. So, you know, this season kind of starts that trend of, like, hey, we're actually going to make these extra dudes, like, you know, just as important, I guess. Because I guess, you know, people hold people like Tommy in such high esteem that it's almost like they're trying to top it. You know, they try to find ways to sort of... Be like, how can we get people to like this guy and stuff? And it's funny that the Sixth Ranger oftentimes, and it's kind of like this in the Sentai a little bit too.
I was actually just
is oftentimes
that. Yeah.
More fleshed out than the individual Rangers themselves.
His
origin, weird.
His origin story for the Sentai, I'm looking at it as he's known as the.
What do we got?
He's a Bull Black, is who seeks revenge on Captain Zahab. I'm gonna assume that's. Scorpius?
Huh?
Not really sure.
I don't think it's Scorpius, yeah.
No. That's probably the Sentai equivalent of Captain Mutiny.
But interesting, it says, he is seeking revenge for the destruction of his homeworld and the death of his younger brother.
Okay, so it's his younger brother in the Sentai. But...
So although he fights against the space pirates, He is not an ally to the Gingaman, which are the Galaxy Rangers in Sentai. And two frequently clash, and they sacrifice a lot of innocent people. So, ultimately, he was in 9 episodes in Gingaman as well.
Interesting.
Only?
So, yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
I thought he was like...
But they call the lights a Ginga.
Does he die in Gingaman?
Let's see.
Because he's in an episode of Gokaiger. I don't know. I don't remember if it was meant to be implied that he was dead. I don't think so. I think he's alive.
It says that he reunites with his brother, finally found peace, although a portion of his spirit still remains with the bull
ride. Oh, yes. Okay. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I remember the plot. Okay. That's right.
But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, okay, at least, you know, he is a bullfighter. That's really what we're...
No, his outfit in the Sentai is really cool. He legit looks like a matador. Like, outside of his armor. Like, he has, like, a legit matador getup.
I think that's one of the more interesting things about the Magna Defender in its entirety. He's different from any Sixth Ranger we've ever seen before.
Yeah, his outfit doesn't really match, like, other Rangers.
He has a cape instead of the Charlie Brown kind of getup.
Yeah, that's something, like... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
I forgot he's got that blaster. And then he's also...
Yeah, he's got this cool shotgun.
I mean,
this dude
doesn't have a quasar saber. He's got a legit, like, He-Man sword. This thing's, like, yeah, old school, dope. Like, you know, kind of, like, medieval.
That's only...
I mean, this dude's just a total badass. Yeah, you know what I mean?
His morpher is completely different.
He doesn't even more... I mean, before Mike... I mean, he's just...
Well, yeah, not before.
He's just, this guy's just... I mean, he shows up on a scene and basically changes the entire show. I mean, for the first few episodes, it's pretty much... The Rangers fighting Scorpius, it's kind of underwhelming until the Magna Defender really shows up.
Yeah, I'd say, like, Magna Defender helps the show get, like,
the storyline...
Well, actually, Scotty, I would debate that, because you yourself were so a big fan of Furio.
I was.
So, that was mainly the main focus. Once he died, it was like, we just move on to phase two. So they had their own issues to deal with, and then Magna Defender just showed up out of the fucking blue.
Magna Defender kind of saves the show plotline wise. I mean,
yeah.
Like Maddie said, you know, we were talking about yesterday, the show doesn't really have a direction until he shows up. Yeah. He shows up and everything kind of falls into place. You get the, you know, the links, and you get, you know, each story, you know, Magna Defender kind of shows up in a Gold Ranger kind of way, but he's not really like an ally. Quasi-ally of the Ranger team. You know, he's got his own agenda.
Did he even actually help the Rangers besides the big monsters? Did he actually battle alongside the team? I'm remembering the episodes, but I don't think he actually battled.
Only Leo, that's it.
It was inconsequentially he did. It was more just like he just so happened to be already, like, in the fight.
It was more reluctant.
Yeah.
He's kind of a reluctant hero, because he doesn't believe in being a hero anymore because of what happened to Zika. You know, he's so... obsessed with revenge
and
capturing the lights of Orion so that he can destroy Scorpius. And even, you know, Leo goes into that and says, you know, you can't have the lights of Orion, you know, because, you know, your cause for wanting the lights of Orion is wrong.
And that's something that, like, going back a little bit, like, I'll go into more in my thoughts of the show when we talk about the show overall, but, like, yeah, like, a lot of the show, story-wise, is, like, pretty disjointed overall, but, like, Magna Defender's story arc is one of the few story arcs on the show that has, like, some consistency, and it, like, it goes somewhere, and actually, you know, like, it makes you care. Like, it's one of the few storylines that it's, like, it makes you care in, like, this type of franchise about, like, hey, like, where is this gonna go? I mean, it's a little bit predictable, but it's still kind of cool seeing how, like, full circle it winds up going and how mature it actually is for a kid's show.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, too.
Like, it's clearly, like, the writers realize, for starters, you know, kids watching Power Rangers are getting a little older, so I guess they can handle a little bit, you know, darker storylines and stuff than we initially have done. Like, this season took a little bit more risk. Like, Magna Defender, the storyline was a little bit more risk, which is cool. And I think that's one of the reasons why the season overall holds a special place for a lot of people, despite the fact that when you actually rewatch everything, it's a little, like, confused. Like, it juggles so many... Like, even the title of the show, Lost Galaxy, doesn't come into play until Crone is on the show, and that's, like, the final, like, 13 episodes.
Yeah.
You know?
So, actually, talking about his different forms. and his arsenal, special attacks, and power abilities.
Yeah.
Scotty, Torzord, badass.
Torzord, I mean, I had a, when we did the Zords, top 10 the top 10 Zord list, Torzord was on my list, right. I believe. Yeah. You know, this thing, I mean, not only is kind of got like a like its own life, of a, like a mind of its own. I mean,
yeah.
Because at one point, you know, Magna Defender wants him to do something, and Torzord refuses to. And then at another point, you know, when Magna Defender realizes he has to make, you know, the ultimate sacrifice, he tells Torzord, you know, mm-hmm. like, our time is gone right now, old friend, but, you know, you stay here. I have to finish the mission, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, Torzord, I like the... I'm going to have to watch the Sentai, but realistically, the whole Matador thing, that was kind of cool looking. I mean, you have the Galactic Beast, and then to throw in a bolt, you know? It was just... Yeah. I like that aspect.
I mean, from the character itself is so, you know, I've said it before, it's so different from any other Sixth Ranger. And then, you know, his Zord is cool. And, I mean, they knew what they were doing when they added this guy into the show. I mean, they made it mean something. And like Maddie said, you know, it kind of grounds the series. And it's a gritty, different type of storyline than what, you know, kids that were watching Power Rangers at the time were used to. I mean, there's death. There's revenge. There's bigger themes involved in this character, and I think that's why he holds a special place in my heart as a Ranger, Magna Defender, because he hits you here, man. I mean, even
guy, you know, lost the fucking son, dude.
Even I mean, when Mike comes back, man, and how him and Magna Defender are still connected, and then Magna Defender kind of passes the power on to Mike, you know, and seeing Leo and Mike reunite, man. If you ever had a brother, man, and you had a falling out or whatever, and you know, you see him, you know, come together,
yeah.
man. I mean,
yeah,
that's a big moment for the series, man. Like it's kind of a tearjerker, man.
This whole series dealt with death. I mean, from
still continue with death. Like death is like actually a pretty like this is like I said like the first season. Other than I guess Zane, you know, like almost dying, but it's the first season where it's like people die and like they will stay dead. You know, it's not
Mike,
like a happy
Zika,
ending. Kind of
Kendricks,
thing.
Like,
Kendricks. Well, Kendricks technically comes back technically, but for a while she's dead. And like you straight up see her killed.
Yeah.
Scorpius later on. Spoiler alert! If anybody hasn't seen it,
does make it?
Well, she doesn't make it after the finale, but she makes it to the end. She's the one who kills Scorpius. Actually, if memory serves. It's either her or Deviant. I don't know.
Can we get into, you know, more of the Magna Defender powers once Mike takes over and how, you know?
Well, actually, believe it or I was looking into this. So his arsenal that consists of the Magna Blaster, which is fucking sick. It's a shotgun.
I totally forgot about me and Matt totally forgot
about
that.
Yeah, I was like,
I mean,
that's so cool.
I saw that and I was like, wow, yeah, that's pretty badass.
And then he's
man.
Got a throwing dart.
Yeah, that like
Zika's throwing dart, yeah.
His special attacks are an energy chop. It says Magna Defender leaps into the air and performs an aerial somersault as he delivers a energized slash against an opponent with a Magna Sword. Which, a lot of these moves are straight from Legacy, or you can use them in Legacy, where he's got a energy sword attack, a diagonal energized slash with the Magna Sword. In episode 15, he uses a force cage. Magna Defender throws his sword into the ground, which generates a cube-shaped barrier around the target. He used this in episode 15 to both protect the Lost
Galaxy
Rangers
yep.
from the effects of the explosive crater, as well as to keep them from stopping him from completing his own destiny. As he reached the fiery pit of his own creation, he transformed into energy and floated down into the pit, thereby stabilizing them. And then he also has extraordinary jumping.
Yep.
Pretty badass. His armor looks like he could break a fucking like wall, though.
What about when Mike gets the morpher and you know he just throws the sword up in the air and then. Bam, he morphs, and then you see the fire behind. I mean, it's a cool visual, man. It's really cool to see.
I mean, talk about Mike's story a little bit. He, nonetheless, dude, is... When I said built for this role, he is built for this role.
Yeah.
Physically built for to be the Magnum.
Joe, go into when he comes back, and I mean, this dude's doesn't even have power yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just jumping in there with his brother, and they're just, you know, taking down the Stingwingers.
Mm-hmm. He comes in ready to fight.
And Mike just comes, I mean, you know this guy's trained, you know, highly trained GSA member. I mean, this dude's highly, very highly regarded in the Galactic Space Alliance. I mean, he's kind of the, you know, the linchpin of the Galactic Space Alliance more than the guy that's in charge of him. I mean, this dude is like the guy that was training other soldiers. They're very happy to have him back.
The best way to describe it, Mike, like, is the Master Chief of the series.
He's the linchpin of the series. I mean,
he answers to people, but he is the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So also, just to point out, in Super Megaforce, years later, Mike's powers were fully restored by unknown means, and he became the Magna Defender once more in return with the Galaxy Rangers as a part of the legendary Rangers that helped the Mega Rangers defeat the Armada. So, go Kyger. I wonder how he got... It says by unknown means. I wonder how he got his powers back.
Well, he actually,
Saban doesn't care about continuity.
Mike is playing a major role in the Boom Studios comic book.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's a major character. Yeah, I mean, Mike and the Magna Defender are playing a major role. Very major role in this series. Cool. Yeah.
Like, him and Tanya have, like, a budding romance, like, going on, which is interesting. But, like, his whole, like... role in the story is cool. Like, he's the first guy who's always like willing to make the sacrifice,
literally
die, you know, so everybody else can live.
He's kind of balls to the wind, you know.
Like, and it's tied to Shattered Grid. That like part of the reason why he's got kind of like a death wish is because he has no idea. Like, he thinks Leo was killed by like Draken or something. He doesn't know what happened to him. Or whatever, but part of the Boom Studios comic currently, the storyline that's ongoing, like, they're on the Terra Venture. It's right now, it's called the Promethea, but it's cool, and you find out who made it. You actually find out who, like, commissioned it, and it was, like, the original... There's this whole backstory that Zord, before the Teenagers with Attitude that Zordon chooses, Zordon had another team that got sent to the moon to fight the Green Psycho Ranger. Only two Rangers survived. One was the Red and one was the Yellow. The Red Ranger of that team was a chick, and she's the one who commissioned the Terra Venture being made, which is pretty cool. So, like, Yes. Yeah, the Boom Studios comic is canon. I mean, it kind of... like, I guess it depends on how you look. It's almost like a little bit of an alternative canon, but because it's never been addressed on the show, there's no reason for it to not be canon, because, like, it just fits right in.
It's totally canon, and these other Rangers, they're trapped in a world where there's no morphing grid, and I think that's
It's a cool story.
Ranger, this female, the power source, is this, like, kind of, Sunstone
it's like a very special.
That's how
morpher.
She taps into the power, and the other, because the other Rangers' powers are very limited, almost like the Green Rangers, where they don't have a full power. There's no power source because there's no morphing grid.
Her morpher is like a reservoir for like what little of the morphing grid was left to that universe. Like, it's basically implied that universe is like, it's where Earth and stuff would be, but it's like it's dying. You know, like, life as it is in other universes is gone, and, like, basically the universe that they're stuck in is about to die, and, like, the key to possibly either saving it or at the very least getting out of it is, like, the one chick who can actually morph, like, fully, and it's cool because she's an original Ranger. She doesn't come from Sentai or anything. She's an original creation, which is why I will always keep bringing up the comic, because it's cool for people who have grown up with Power Rangers to sort of see what the story would be like if it had its own identity. You know, like, it's not tied to whatever footage or whatever. Like, it's its own story.
Backstage, and, politics.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, they're creating new characters, new ideas. Like, I definitely think Netflix or something should... Well, that's off topic, but anyway. But going back to Mike, you know, Mike's in it, and each one of the main characters on the roster in this current story arc, it's Andros, Tanya, Heckle from Dino Charge.
Caron.
Yeah, Caron's actually in it, which is dope. Cam and Mike. And also the Kimberly from Draken's universe, the Ranger Slayer. And it's cool because they all have this, like, you know... inner turmoil but it's not like cliche. It's like each one has their own kind of thing that is like weighing on them, and it's cool. I like the bad guys trying to prey on it a little bit.
Mike doesn't have the confidence he normally has in his storyline, right? Because he thinks that Leo and the Galaxy Rangers are gone.
Yeah, except for Caron.
Doesn't know yet, because I guess Kendricks is still the
he's kind of lost the will to live. Like, Mike has actually kind of lost the desire to do it, and Tanya's sort of acting as like his rock of like being like
Tanya's kind of holding him together, saying like, we need you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
Well, actually, interesting. I just wanted to go into some of the, I had them listed right here, some of the production notes for fun facts about the Magnum Defender and as well as Mike. Did you know that Mike the actor is actually 5 years younger than Leo the actor?
Never know.
Yeah.
He totally looks older than him. That's funny.
So that
he also looks like an alternate reality Oscar
Isaac. The dude had perfect hair. I mean, I don't think he had a hair out of place the entire series.
No, he was like Rocky in season 3, dude. So let me tell you, he's something special. But a couple of other things just to touch upon real quick about Magnum Defender. I forgot who we were talking about for a second. That's really bad. We got Gingaman, Zika's counterpart is Magnum Defender's little brother that we talked about.
Yeah.
States right here, Scotty, Magnum Defender in Zika's homeworld was a gray planet with a grainy surface with a red nebula behind it. It is not to be confused with Mirinoi after Furio's attack.
Okay.
Scotty, what else we got?
Magnum Defender acts much like the Sixth Ranger of Lost Galaxy series, but is not considered a ranger and is classified as an ally.
Interesting.
In Gingaman, the counterpart, or I'm sorry, Villamax's counterpart is one who had a conflict Magnum Defender counterpart, not Treacherons. Huh, interesting. In the Japanese dub of Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, Magnum Defender is voiced by Sengi Six. Pardon me for botching these names. He also voiced Stargull in episode 22 of Gokaiger and
Yay.
Messiah in Go Busters.
Good to know.
He's a playable character in Legacy Wars.
Yes,
but it says, most important, it is unknown if the Magnum Defender as well as his son Zika were human or some other life form under their armor, as it's never appeared outside of the armor.
I don't believe they're human. I think they painted it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seemed almost like their costumes or whatever was just like their
body.
It's
just what Ninjor was, basically.
Yeah, they were just, I don't know. And like Mike can just sort of tap into that.
So nonetheless, that's pretty much the story of the Magnum Defender.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, like, where it goes.
It's a great story. You know, I mean, if you're a fan of Magnum Defender, you know,
I definitely
urge you to follow
there's
the
more,
Boom
yeah.
Studios
yeah,
comic.
Yeah, there's more to
mean,
it.
If you're a fan of Mike like I am, and I'm a huge Magnum Defender and Mike fan, follow the comic. It's only getting better.
If you're a fan of Power Rangers, follow the comic, man. Like, it's really good.
He's got some of the coolest toys, too.
Magnum Defender?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what else he reminds me of is Arco? I forget it. The Conqueror?
Oryk
the Conqueror, yeah.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, so, a little bit.
He's much cooler than Oryk. I mean...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Torazord, I mean... It's very similar in, you know, the way they have it run to, you know, to Tiger Zord. It reminds me similar to that. And, you know, Matt loves how every time Torazord comes, the mountain on Terra Venture...
Yeah, like
the
terrain
on Terra Venture
just literally
kind of
rises up to the top. Like, it happens every single time it goes into, like, Zord form. Like, so it's like, damn, like, Terra Venture's just, like, by the end of the show, gonna be fucked.
And Magnum Defender is sort of part of the Zord. I mean, he's part of the Zord, like, in warrior form. You're similar to how...
Yeah, but it's weird, because the Zord is, like, an animal of its own, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they all... always.
Yeah,
Zords
all
are,
of them, actually.
But he's like, literally, like, a pet. He's like, back away, and it'll back away.
And
so
he actually wrote it when he grows in size and has that kind of like red ninja thing going on, red bull thing going on.
Matador.
Yeah.
Matador. He rides it like Red Dragon Thunderzord rides the Tiger Zord.
Yeah. So nonetheless.
So it doesn't really fit. I mean. It doesn't merge with the other Zords, does it? It's its own Zord, pretty much, Torazord. Like,
he actually can't... It's a standalone Zord. He can't... You know, it can't morph into anything.
Ultra Galactic Zord or anything like that, where they come together.
That'd be sweet, but... Interesting fact, Matt, I was looking up... because you had mentioned something about Lightspeed, and going back when I was looking through the production notes, is that Magnum Defender, again, not considered a Sixth Ranger, but is part of the Sixth Ranger key set in... Gokaiger, is it?
Yes, yeah.
But interesting enough, and when I looked at the set, and I said to myself, I said, huh,
that how come none of them had the power of the Titanium Ranger, but when Gokaiger was filmed, the Titanium Ranger was an exclusive American Ranger.
Yeah, he doesn't exist
in Japan. So he's not part of the set, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, he doesn't exist in Japan.
So
I totally disagree with that. I believe the Magnum Defender is a Sixth Ranger. He's got his own...
He is.
But he, just, I mean, I would throw him under the same category as Ninjor and... You know, but Ninjor was not really a Sixth Ranger. He was just...
I would throw him even more than that. I mean, when he's Mike, I mean, he's
Mike
a Sixth Ranger. He has a morph.
We'll leave it at that. I will say Mike is the Sixth Ranger. Magna Defender just isn't. He had no purpose of it.
Right.
I mean, he didn't even know the Galaxy Rangers exist, you know, until Mike fell into the hole, really.
Yeah.
It was just same day, I guess. But, yeah, I'd leave it at that. Clearly he's helping out his brother and his colleagues and friends. Mike is the Sixth Ranger and Magnum Defender isn't.
The Galaxy team just kind of gets, like, this big boost when Mike comes back, like, emotionally. Oh, yeah. And, like, I mean, yeah. They're all, like,
you watch
Mike,
as a fan, right, and it's, I mean, like, a breath of fresh air.
It is, man. I mean, they get Mike back, you know, the GSA gets Mike back, yeah. And they're just like...
Yeah, oh, they don't even need an explanation.
They're just like...
The commander...
Where the hell were you?
Well... This new commander that they put in charge. I personally, my debate is I wanted them to use the old commander that was in charge of Nisada.
He's still in Nisada.
To be in charge of Terra Venture. That would have been the thing.
That's too many.
Because Joe and I love the guy personally.
That guy, man.
He saved the show pretty much.
His connection with Zordon. I said, I'm going to ask when we go see Andros and.
That guy saved the show.
Christopher Heyman Lee. When we go see him in not this Sunday, but next Sunday?
Yeah.
Next Sunday,
we're gonna go see him. So, I have so many questions for them, too. And realistically, I feel like when I get there, I'm going to freeze and not know what to fucking say.
That's why I'm going to put notes on my phone for what questions I'm going to want to ask him.
Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting, man. I'm looking forward to it. I actually don't know if Mike does any Comic-Con appearances at Paramorphicon.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope he does, and I hope if he does, they can hand out one of those GSA patches, because I personally want one.
Yeah, we'll get some GSA patches made for you, Scotty. Don't worry. So, but nonetheless, guys, I think that pretty much wraps up the story of the Magna Defender. What would you say, Matt?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, like, it's Mike for the remainder of the show. Admittedly, we're rewatching it, and we're in the middle of rewatching it, so, like, there might be some cool things that occur again that we're not addressing that maybe we should, but, I mean, one thing I will know that I think is cool is that his story does go full circle in that I think I remember when Mike tries sacrificing himself, I think, like, Magna Defender's soul or something, like, saves Mike, like, from dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mike loses the Magna Defender powers, but Mike at least gets a chance to live because Magna Defender, like, saves him, like, again and whatnot, which is kind of cool. If memory serves right. I hope I'm remembering that correctly.
So, nonetheless, we can always do a part two to this if we want to.
It's disappointing in the fact that they choose to have Magna Defender's power lost because...
But apparently it's not. It's not actually lost because, again...
Mike for the show, for back. The show, I'm yeah. talking, yeah.
So I'm saying, you look at all the concepts, even when Tommy did the whole, you know, in Dino Thunder, the whole history of the Power Rangers, I don't even know if he mentioned the Magna Defender.
I doubt he did, because he wasn't even around for
it. He wasn't around for most of the stuff.
Yeah, they briefed, yeah, he just kind of talked about the Galaxy Rangers, but he didn't go into depth.
Would you go as far to say that the Magna Defender, without a doubt, is one of the most powerful Rangers of all time? I mean... Right up
when
there.
When he's not angry, yes.
When Mike is in charge of gets the Magna Defender.
I think Mike is more powerful than the original Magna Defender.
I feel like he is
just like how Jason is. What I think is more powerful than Trey.
I just feel like he's a natural. Yeah. He's kind of like if Zordon was still around, he would have chosen Mike to be a Ranger.
Well, and that's why something we completely missed.
The Quasar Sabers. Missed,
but again, Mike was supposed to be the Red Ranger, but. Again, it was his destiny to be the Magna Defender. So that's...
It's a great story how it ties in like that. I mean, because you know, when you're first introduced to the series, him and Leo have this kind of like aloofy, you know, distant kind of relationship, and it ties them back together.
I mean, you think about it. He was in that cave or the crevice of the earth or the crater for 3,000 years. And then finally it just opened again. So like this guy, that's why I don't believe he was human.
Well, a human wouldn't live 3,000 years.
The guy wasn't in good shape. He looked like he was on, like, death's door pretty much. I mean, he was fighting for survival here.
Are you telling me that he was stuck in that thing for 3,000 years and still pissed about his son being dead?
Yeah, I mean, he's...
You think about that. Yeah.
I mean, granted, any parent would, but I'm saying storyline purpose. You thought after the first 2,000 years, like, I mean, props. This guy was, you know, he was waiting for his, for anything.
I think that's the kind of, like, the thing that kept him going. The thing that kept him surviving was that this fueled anger towards Scorpius and this hatred of Treacheron and Scorpius kind of kept him going. And then it's almost like he knew, like, he knew that his moment would come where he would get a shot to get his revenge. And yet, in the end, he doesn't get it.
Now, imagine when he threw the... Was it the sword to clip Mike onto the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the sword.
He was inches away from... Mike was inches away from
Mike was dying there. I mean, he was...
Mike was going to die. I mean, he timed that perfectly.
It's an epic moment in Lost Galaxy history. I mean...
I think it's the... I mean, so far in Lost Galaxy, I think it's the best story. I mean, Kendrick's death is up there. Corone coming back is... But... Overall, the Magnum Defender story is Lost Galaxy.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I mean, Mike's a badass. What more can we say?
Plus, I think he kind of gives, like, Scorpius this more sinister... Like, it really makes you dislike Scorpius, this whole story.
I think it wasn't until Power Rangers Samurai is that another Red Ranger or something like that was named Mike.
Scorpius kind of comes across as this, like, kind of like Jabba the Hutt, do nothing kind of guy.
Scorpius sucks, dude. Until, I'm sorry.
Until Magna Defender shows up, he kind of, you know, adds a layer and, like, he gives the Rangers and Magna Defender more of a purpose to, like, you want the Rangers to beat this guy. So, like, he's not like Rita and Zed. Like, this dude is real sinister, and, I mean, he's just got a real evil...
I mean,
evil...
you think about it, even, too. Rita was in that dumpster, if you will, for 10,000 years. Magna Defender was in that crater for 3,000. I'm like...
Scorpius has no filter, though, man. He just wants to kill all the rain. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He wants to take out Terra Venture.
You know what? And that's the problem, is that he easily could, because Terra Venture's security system is fucking terrible.
Yeah. He's definitely better than Dark Spectre. I mean, at least he's vicious, man. I mean, he doesn't care about his own people, and not even his own daughter. You don't care. He doesn't really care.
No, honestly, he'd kill Trakeen if he had to.
He would. If he meant sacrificing her to beat the Rangers or get control of the Quasar Sabres and the Lights of Orion, the rule of the world, I think he would.
I want to talk about the Lights of Orion real quick. Is that I get that they have Ranger powers. Like, they have their new, like, armor, but...
It's a plot point that takes too long to get to. I feel like the reveal
to that wasn't that exciting.
No.
Not at all.
They focus so much on it. And then they let you down with it, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, I guess everybody's gonna have to wait to hear our official review. So.
Yeah, not too long.
We're getting there.
We're like halfway there.
We're like halfway there. Yeah.
We're moving through.
I mean.
Well, yeah, we're in like episode 20 something. There's only like 45 episodes, so.
Another 25 to go. At least we're not in Turbo.
Anything's better than that.
So, nonetheless, guys, that wraps it about up. Hopefully, we gave you the story of the Magnum Defender. And we look forward to talking. What are we going to talk about next week? Hopefully, we're going to have the Lost Galaxy done by then.
I'm hoping we're going to have a season review by next podcast.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think we're going to have it wrapped up by then. So, all right, guys. I've been Joe. That's Matt.
You.
Scotty. Yeah, take us away.
Guys, go Galactic, man. Ooh.